Well, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it again. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me as we study John 15, verse 8. Another one of those memory verses that are a part of the Master Life study. We're looking at the Disciples' Cross. Dr. Avery Willis is a foreign missionary in a foreign country, develop a system for discipling new believers, bringing them into a personal relationship. And he recorded the material. And after he had been doing it for 8 or 10 years, he came back off a furlough into the United States. And there are people that heard about it, and they went to the Lifeway. Back then, it was the Sunday School Board. And they encouraged them to write it out and develop it as a course that could be studied in churches. So in the early 90s, I went through Master Life the first time, and it radically changed my life. It gave me a different perspective of working with people and discipling them. And that's the reality. 50 years ago, we did away with things that we call like training union or discipleship training, and we went to something entirely different. And as a result, most new believers don't go through a process that help them understand the very things that we are studying. I remind you of the Disciples' Cross that Dave has placed on the front of our bulletin. As you look at it, you realize there is the center of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the depiction shares with us that he has to be the center of our life. We have to center on him. And then we use the passage that told us that he was the vine and we are the branches. If we're going to be producing fruit for him, we have to stay connected. We have to abide in him. Now, the way that we facilitate that connection, first of all, is the bottom part of the cross, and that is the Word. We study the Bible. We learn the Bible. We learn the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And as we bear with one another, as we share with one another and learn the Scripture, we are better equipped to serve Him. Another way that we facilitate that connection is to talk to Him. And the top of the cross is prayer. That vertical part of who we are is that reality of our connection with God. And as our involvement and connection with God develops stronger and it matures, then it's going to facilitate the sides of the cross. Last Sunday, we talked about the ministry or the fellowship, that we are to have fellowship with one another. And that fellowship doesn't mean just eating at church. That means that we have a relationship. The Aramaic word is koinonia. The Greek word is koinonia. And that means a relationship that goes beyond just seeing each other. That we're in fellowship. We are in a relationship. And that relationship transcends the relationship all around us. Of course, we have our family relationships. But if there is a church relationship, as it should be, they're going to be like family to us. Open, honest, fruitful, producing that relationship. Now, this Sunday, we're going to be studying evangelism, or the other side of the cross that is witnessing, that we share Jesus. That's the very basic of who we are, that we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus, and as a result of that relationship with God, and we have a relationship with others. And that relationship is expressed through ministry and through fellowship and through evangelism. So that's who we are. In that passage of Scripture where Jesus talked about being the vine, in verse 8 of the 15th chapter of John, he said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit, and prove to be my disciples." There was the warning now that if you don't produce fruit, you're going to be cut off, thrown away, abandoned, cast into the fire. That is the way that we prove that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, as we're producing fruit. We're bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, every aspect, every event, every project of Pinecrest Baptist Church must have an evangelistic component. It must be a way that we're going to direct people to the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you have said that for a number of years through the mission statement. Pinecrest Baptist Church exists for the purpose of glorifying God by making disciples, maturing believers, and multiplying ministries. We glorify God by making disciples. That's evangelism. That's drawing people. That's inviting people to know Jesus Christ as the personal Lord and Savior. Now, the purpose of the disciples' life, first of all, is that Jesus made his mission clear. Jesus made the mission clear. He began that public ministry, and it was very clear that why he came into the world, why the world was there, and why he was going to be involved in it. John pointed to him, John the baptizer pointed to him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." John 3:14. That idea of going back into the Old Testament period, where the wickedness of the people of God in the wilderness demanded God's judgment, he turned snakes loose. Now, I'm not like Dalton. I don't want nothing to do with snakes. And if snakes had come into my camp, you can imagine what I would have done. There was no trees in the desert, but I would have been trying to climb them to get away from them. They were biting and killing literally thousands of people in that group because of their sin. And Moses went to God, and God said, "You fashion a snake, put him on a stick, and hold him high that people can look at, and they will be spared this punishment of death." Jesus said, just as that snake was lifted in the wilderness and were saved from their rebellion against God, those that look to him once he is lifted up on the cross, they will be spared their judgment because of the sin of their lives. Truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does those things. That was Jesus' commitment to be like his Father, to do what the Father did, to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness, to bring cleansing, to bring hope, bring peace and love into the lives of those that were there. Now, Jesus made his mission clear, to glorify the Father, to seek and to save the lost as his followers. Our mission is no different. We are told that we are to be like him. It's a powerful passage of scripture where Jesus describes himself as the true vine. The Father is the gardener, and we are the branches, and we are required to produce fruit. Now, the fruit that we bear proves our discipleship. In John 15, Jesus teaches that he is the vine, we are the branches, and our spiritual life and our fruitfulness depend entirely of our connection to him. In verse 8, he tells us our fruitfulness, especially the fruit of evangelism, proves that we are his disciples and we bring glory to God. See, you can't be the disciple of Jesus if you're not talking about Jesus, if you're not sharing Jesus, if you're not telling people about Jesus. He teaches that the Father desires one thing, and that is fruit. He desires that from every branch. Fruit, visible evidence that there is a living connection with Jesus Christ. In verse 8, Jesus said, the bearing of much fruit not only proves our discipleship, but it brings glory to the Father as well. You see, evangelism is not just for special believers. You know, we used to have a term that we used often, evangelists. They were preachers that would travel the country preaching revivals, camp meetings, special events of all kinds. They were doing all kinds, and we said they were evangelists. But the reality is, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you are an evangelist. You're responsible to make disciples too. Master Life Week 5, we learned that evangelism isn't just for the few, It is a natural outflow of our abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus. When we walk closely with Jesus, fruit follows. We produce souls for Him. Lives are changed. Kingdom of God grows. Our relationship with Jesus is alive and thriving. The fruit of the relationships will spill over into the lives of other people. And they will become disciples, and they will learn to grow and develop and mature, and they will be called to go and teach others. We evangelize many aspects of our lives. We don't like to think of it that way. But how many of you had discussions today about ball teams this weekend already? How many of you had discussions about some aspect of your life? Maybe a restaurant you like or food that you like. Maybe a doctor that you have a good feeling about. Maybe a place that you love to go, that special place for you. Maybe somebody that you know and love that gives you insight and knowledge, and that relationship with them helps them. Maybe you talked about a television program. Maybe you talked about politics. Maybe you talked about the event yesterday. Maybe something else garners the attention that you want to talk about. That is evangelizing. We evangelize everything in our world. Why can't we evangelize for Jesus? Why can't we talk about Jesus? Why can't we share Jesus and what He means to us, what He has done in our lives? We must evangelize for Jesus and evangelize for Pinecrest Baptist Church. Now, notice the source of evangelism, abiding in Christ. You see, there's where the hang-up. If we just visit Him on Sunday morning, then it's awful hard to talk about Him, isn't it? I think of so many stories I've heard where we've not lived the life that we need to live in the community. Therefore, we don't talk about it. Jesus said, "Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains connected to the vine, neither can we unless we remain in Jesus." The key to fruitfulness, the key to character, to service, to evangelism is abiding in Jesus, staying connected to Him. Oh, evangelism is not a program either. It's not something that, like we used to do twice a year, we would have revival services. No, evangelism is more than that. A branch doesn't strain to produce fruit. It becomes a part of it. You can't say, "I need to make an apple today, so I'm going to work real hard today." No, "I need to make a grape today, so I'm going to work real hard." No. It simply stays connected. It's in the relationship with the vine. And the vine is producing the nourishment, the water, the other things that are needed. The kind of integration of all that's going on in the vine begins to take place in the branch. And then the branch, because of its ability, then produces the grapes or whatever else it needs to produce. Likewise, when we abide in Christ through prayer, through the study of the Scripture, through obedience to what we learn, His life flows through us. It comes through us. People can see it. People can hear it. People can experience and know we are related to Him. You see, many Christians are busy but not fruitful. And that's because they are active without being connected. We're doing the things, but we're not in a relationship with Jesus that produces what needs to be happening. Evangelism that flows from our own effort will quickly dry up. That's why so many people come to church and they don't get discipled, and not for too long, they fall off. It kind of draws out. Something else takes over. We focus on something else. We know everybody, or we know somebody that has done that in COVID. Coming out of COVID, they're not faithful anymore. They've fallen away. It's dried up for them. But evangelism that flows from the life of abiding in Christ Jesus carries the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is present, things happen. Whether we want them or not, it's going to happen. There it is. We bear fruit, not in our own strength either. We bear fruit not by our own strength, but by His life flowing through us. The disciple cross reminds us that Christ is the central part of our world. The vertical beam represents relationship with God. The horizontal beam represents the relationship with others, the fellowship and witnessing, evangelism. If we lose connection with our vertical beam, then we're going to lose the power in our horizontal beam. You see, Christ must be central in our lives. The branch that stays connected naturally bears fruit, so does the believer that stays close to Christ. Think of an unplugged lamp. It may look good, may have a pretty shade, it may have a good base and a shiny, it may fit the decoration, it may fit in the place where it is, but if it's not plugged to the electricity, it is of no value for light. It has to be connected to produce light. And that light is the value of the lamp, not at what it looks like. The same is true for the believer who attempts to witness without abiding in Christ. Before we can tell others about Jesus, we must have first spent time with Him, know Him, understand Him, the depth of His love and grace and mercy. Evangelism is not mastering the method. It's about maintaining a relationship. I led a lot of evangelism schools when I pastored. A lot of people learned all the principles, and usually within the first couple months, they've stopped doing it. It's lost interest to them. But those that stay connected, it begins to happen. You see production. There was a time at Providence Baptist Church where I recently preached this homecoming, that every Sunday morning I had no clue who was going to walk the aisle. And there were many Sundays that I were caught off guard and I was surprised by someone walking the aisle to accept Jesus Christ and become a part of the church because people in the community were sharing their faith about Jesus. Now, the proof of discipleship is bearing fruit. How do you know I'm a disciple? If I'm bearing fruit, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciple. You see, fruitfulness is the evidence of our discipleship. Jesus didn't say we can prove our discipleship by our knowledge, our church attendance, our tithing, our singing, our working, our reputation. None of those things were a part of what Jesus is discussing with the disciples and the group that were listening to him. He said, we prove that we are his by the fruit that we bear. The visible evidence that his life is flowing through us to others is touching other people. What we produce, the disciples are the product that we produce. That's our proof of discipleship. Now, the New Testament called for three different kinds of fruit to be in our bodies, in our lives. First of all, the Christ-like character we find in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We call it often the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence, the production of the Spirit in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, if those things are there, you can tell somebody's connected to Jesus. So also, if it's not there, you can tell they don't know Jesus. They're not serving Jesus. The second one is good works in Colossians 1:10. So that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10 tells us that we walk worthy of the Lord. You remember we talked about the books being open when you get to heaven and being judged. If you're not in the book of life, there are the other books that you're going to be judged by. It's going to be the works that you do that produces that judgment. And the third one is new believers, Romans 1:13. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. You see, Paul was going to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome. He planned to go to Rome. He didn't necessarily plan to go in shackles as a prisoner and be placed in prison there because of his faithfulness. But he said, just like I won people to the Lord, or actually Jesus won people to the Lord through me, won these other Gentiles, I'm here so he can win others to faith in Christ also. You know, that's how we prove that we're connected. That's the fruit that we produce. Christ-like character, good works, new believers are coming to faith because of our lives, because of our testimony, because of our witness. Now, the most visible way to show we are disciples, evangelism is one of the most visible ways that we can show that we're genuine disciples. We share his love so others can know him. You remember that old song, Share His Love? Because so many people need it. So many people in our world need it. That song was so popular years ago, and it was a call to evangelism. Baptists has always emphasized that every Christian is a missionary, and they're a missionary in their own circle of influence. They're a missionary with the group of people they interact with. One of the problems is most of us have got to the point that we only act with brother believers. We're not going to places where others, well, Mickey, I can't go to those places. People will think I'm not a good person if I go to some of those places. But yet those are the very places that we need to be sharing the gospel. You never cross an ocean. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a disciple. But you are called across the street to somebody else, to a neighbor, to a friend, to a co-worker, to share the gospel. Our mission field is wherever lost people are. People that don't know Jesus need to hear it from us. It can be at school. It can be at work. It can be in our families. It can be in our neighborhood. It can be in our recreation times and places. I encourage you to ask yourself this week, is my life producing spiritual fruit? Do other people see Christ in me? Am I telling them about the vine that gives me life, that sustains me? The goal of discipleship is to glorify God. My Father is glorified by this. Evangelism is not about us. It's to God's glory. It's to bring honor to God. It's to speak for God. It's to introduce him to others. When sinners repent, the Bible says heaven rejoices. Can you imagine every time somebody accepts Jesus, the kind of party they have in heaven? Oh, man, you think we have a good time at a baptism, or somebody walks the aisle and becomes a believer. You think we have a good time? We can't imagine what goes on in heaven as a result of that. Every life that is saved, the Father's glory is magnified. That's our goal, to magnify the Lord. It's not our goal to build a church. It's not our goal to build a reputation. It's not our goal to build numbers. The goal is to build glory to God. If you've been saved, then you know what it means. You have been forgiven and cleansed, and now you can give glory to God. When sinners repent, heaven rejoices, and God's glory is displayed. Have you ever seen God's glory? Have you ever experienced it? I tell you, it is a life-changing experience. I shared in the Master Life study this morning, there were times on disasters where I saw the glory of God that I would just stop side the road and cry because it was so moving. It's so powerful to see somebody sharing the gospel and them finding Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, when we love others enough to share the gospel, we are mirroring the heart of God. We're showing the heart of God. When we love others, evangelism flows out of love. That's what we have to understand. In John 13:35, Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We don't have a choice. We have to love each other. As a part of the body of Christ known as Pinecrest Baptist Church, love is our responsibility. And that same love compels us to tell others, just to see God reach into the lives of the community around us. Evangelism is not manipulation like a lot of people believe. It's the motivation by love, motivating you to tell, motivating them to experience God's love. You see, sharing Jesus glorifies God. Sharing Christ glorifies God because it declares God's grace, mercy, and power every time we talk about Him. Sharing Christ, we testify to His love and commitment to save all who would come to know Him. When we witness out of love and obedience, we participate in God's mission of restoring the world into relationship with Him. When mankind sinned and Adam and Eve, and it started that fall from then on, there was a separation from God. But when we accept and embrace Jesus, we come back into that relationship with Him, and He gives us hearts then that beats for other lost people, other people that do not know Him. We want to tell them about Him. Now, the reward for evangelism is joy, giving joy. Jesus connects fruitfulness to joy. You watch farmers, when they produce a good fruit, they are happy. You watch people that garden. They got pretty flowers, pretty shrubbery, great grass. They're happy. You can see it in their face. They will tell you. They will show it. That's important. That's the same way when you share your faith, you see someone come to Christ, it fills you with joy. Nothing else will matter. Nothing else will match it to feel that excitement to know that God used you to touch somebody and bring them into a relationship with Him. Evangelism allows us to partner with God in His redemptive plan. Imagine that. The Creator of the universe invites me to join Him in changing other people's lives. It's not because I have a gun or a knife or a club that I can beat them with to make them different. No. It's out of my own love. It's out of my own heart for God and His love flowing for me that He can draw others. And when that happens, it is something beyond measure. Every soul reached through the witness is an eternal fruit that will never perish. Oh, think about it. There was a song 40 years ago about a guy getting to heaven and walking through heaven and people tapping him on the shoulder saying, "Thank you for sharing the gospel with me. I'm here today because you told me about Jesus." I use that for many mission teams that we commission and as we welcome back at the church, thanking them for their service and ministry in different places. Evangelism is not a task. It's a joy-filled project, a joy-filled privilege, walking with Jesus, seeing His power in the work of others. When we lead others to Christ, that person can lead others then to Christ. That fruit multiplies, it grows. That's how the gospel spreads. One life touching another that then touches another in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, last week I shared with y'all that in Southern Baptist Disaster Relief, World Changers and Chaplains, we saw where there were 10 presentations of the gospel, there was a profession of faith. I knew that if I had 100 people that would tell, if I had 10 people that would tell 100 people about Jesus Christ, there would be 10 professions of faith. And there were places like in Houston, Texas, and Hurricane Harvey, where it came to seven sharing of the gospel, there was a profession of faith. Now think about that. If 10 of us this week would win somebody else, it will double it. Now, think about that. We talk to 10 people a week. If every one of us talked to one person a week for 10 weeks, that would be a profession of faith. And then those 20 people would talk to 20 more people over 10 weeks. There would be 40 people that would know Christ. And if those 40 spent 10 weeks telling one person a week, that would be 80 people that would know Christ. And if those 80 would spend 10 weeks telling one person a week, that would be 160 people. And then 10 more weeks of 160 people telling one person a week, that would be 320 people in this church inside of a year. We could have 320 people in church if we would share the gospel one time a week with people that we know, people that we are part of. You see, we have to ask God for the joy of seeing the fruit of our lives expressed in others' lives. And celebrate every step, celebrate every seed planted, celebrate every heart that is touched, celebrate every soul that is saved. Sharing the gospel will make a difference in the lives of so many people. You see, we need to hear Jesus again. His words are clear. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You see, when we abide in Christ, we bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, the Father is glorified. And when the Father is glorified, we experience His joy. We experience His peace. That means that we must abide in Christ every day. We have to stay connected to the vine through prayer and Bible study. We have to obey His commands. That is that we have to share your faith as the Spirit leads. Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We got to walk with Him daily. And we trust the Holy Spirit to produce fruit. You see, I can't produce the fruit. If I want somebody to faith or want them to be a part of Pinecrest Baptist Church, and they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it would be useless. Yeah, we may have a good time. We may have fun together. We may share things together. But eternity is not changed if it's simply what I do and how I do it. Bearing fruit. Are we bearing fruit? Are we spiritually withering, drying up, falling by the wayside, soon to be cut off, soon to be cast into the fire? You see, that's our decision today. Will we ask the Lord today to reignite our hearts for evangelism? Not a program, not a process, not a formal thing, but a simple way of just talking about Jesus like we would a restaurant, a ball team, a doctor, a TV program, or all the other things that we talk about every day. You see, we have to come and renew a connection to Jesus Christ, the true vine. We need to let Him flow through us into the life of lost and dying people. We have to come to grips with the reality there are people that will spend eternity in hell because I didn't tell them about Jesus. Think about what it's like. The disciples, that morning, afternoon actually, when they came to the point that the disciples said to Jesus, you need to send these people away because they're hungry and it's time to eat and we don't have anything. Jesus said, well, what do you have? And they looked around and they fumbled around and finally they said, the only thing we got is this little boy's lunch. We don't have enough money to buy enough for everybody here. You got to send them away. Jesus said, no, bring it to me. And he took it and he prayed over it. And then he began to break it into pieces, and he put it in baskets, and those 12 disciples passed out of around 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So there was literally as much as 15, 18, 20,000 people that were probably fed, but they only counted the men. Everybody counts, though. Now, when it was all said and done, and at the end of that experience, they came back, and they brought to Jesus 12 full baskets left over. Every one of the disciples got a basket to carry home or carry for the next day's meals and the next day's meals because Jesus blessed it. Can you imagine what it was like for them? There would never be an experience in their life from that day until the day they stood before the God of creation that they didn't even remember what Jesus did and allowed them to be a part of. I can tell you by experience, I did it 2 weeks ago, looked into the face of people that I shared the gospel with and Lady baptized them. Some of them I performed their marriage ceremonies. Some of them I did the funerals for their loved ones. Over and over again, it came to mind how I had a relationship with those people. It may not have been real good for them, but I'll tell you one thing. It caused me to leave there encouraged to remember what Jesus did, and he allowed me to be a part of it. He didn't need me. He probably could have done a much better job with some of the other guys, but he chose to use me. You will get to a point in your life when you can look at people and say, God used me in their life. And you will celebrate the glory of God because you shared your faith with others. May it be so this week. Father, speak to our hearts now. Draw from us commitments to share the gospel this week with somebody that we know. We don't have to beat them over the head, Father, but just allow your Holy Spirit to give us the words that we can speak, that your Holy Spirit working in their life wants to hear and can use in their life. We know you work through all of us if we just make ourselves available. Father, we want to share your bounty with other people. May it be so this week, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.